Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
By the president. And those of you who know Spanish know what La Cucaracha is. Of course, there's no implications in the song itself. I didn't write the song, only playing the song. I thought there'd be lyrics, but all we have is the instrumental. So let's go back to the drawing board and get the one with the actual lyrics attached so people know what they're listening to. Now, what we have for you on the Savage Nation is a dream. It's a dream act for those who have broken into America illegally and are camping here illegally, ruining our schools, destroying our hospitals, decimating our jails. This is their dream act. And, of course, the man in the White House is their man in Havana. What could be better? I mean, once a community organizer, always a community organizer. Since he's run out of communities to organize in America, he has had to reach further south than our southern border, reaching as far south as Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. And he's pulling in all of those communities so he can organize them to make sure that the corrupt edifice that put him in power continues to maintain power. And one thing you should know is that you can anticipate the Ferguson grand jury decision this week to provide cover for Obama's open borders, bankrupt America policies. And his thug-in-chief, Al Sharpton, a man who should be investigated by the Justice Department, but we have no Justice Department, a tax dodger, a con man, in my opinion, from the get-go, is threatening, basically threatening that he has people all over America ready to go out there and, act nonviolently, of course. But they're going to go out there and make sure that Obama's executive action is covered up for by the mobs, the rent-a-mobs that Sharpton has used his whole life. So in order to entertain you, I've created a little montage here on the Savage Nation, which begins with the community organizer's speech. Let's hear that and see where we go with it.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration system.
Wow,
what I'm going to be laying out is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as
president.
Las capacidades y energías del país, en el que dentro de la unidad nacional, el trabajo, estimado como el más ineludible de los deberes, será el único exponente de la voluntad popular. Y
Nash Action Network and I have mobilized 25 cities that we released that will be going immediately to federal buildings.
Federal building, which you own
and
now.
Nonviolent.
So that's the world we're living in now, a world of absolute power, which is as corrupt as it ever gets. And, you know, the reason I played Mussolini and the others is because in studying dictatorships, which I've done since I'm about 18 years old, I've never heard a dictator say he's doing anything illegally. Never. Even Hitler said that everything he did was within the law. Did you know that? I mean, our National Action Network president, Barack Hussein Obama, said he's going to act within the law. Mussolini said he was acting within the law when he violated the law. Hitler said he was acting within the law when he needed some living space for the Germans, Lebensraum. He wasn't invading Czechoslovakia because he wanted to conquer Czechoslovakia. He said he had the legal right to engage in getting some living space for the German people. That's so everything's legal. Pol Pot did it legally. That's the Mountain of Human Skulls in Cambodia. It started with a nice professor in Cambodia who went to Paris to study Marxism. He came home a dictator. He arrested everyone in the middle class, everyone with eyeglasses. He elevated the street garbage in Cambodia. The street garbage who never went to college.
never went to high school, never went to grade school. The street garbage in Cambodia were elevated to the leadership positions in Cambodia. They were 13, 14-year-old thugs. Does it sound familiar? And they were given red scarves to wear so they could be part of this identified gang under Pol Pot. And they started to arrest the entire middle class. Architects, doctors, lawyers, teachers, social workers, dentists. Anyone with eyeglasses was considered a counter-revolutionary. Under Pol Pot, the mild-mannered Marxist professor who came back to Cambodia and started to institute what he said was fairness, policies of fairness. He said that Cambodia had been taken over by a parasitical middle class and that he just wanted to make things fair. And so he unleashed 13 and 14-year-old garbage on the middle class along the lines of Ferguson. Yes, I'll say it. I'll go online and say it. The garbage in the streets of Ferguson, they don't work. Tell me what they do for a living. They're parasites on society. Tell me how people could be in the streets for months at a time without any known source of income and not be called a parasite. Explain that to me. Tell me how you can explain that to me. So if you think there are no parallels in history, that means you do not know your history and you're condemned to repeat it. That's all. It's that simple. So, yeah, here we go. He said he's going to do it legally. That's what Obama said. He's not violating a law. And on his side, he has the man who knows more about the law than anyone, Al Sharpton. As you know, Al Sharpton is a law-abiding citizen, although he hasn't paid taxes in a while. He stiffs hotels and landlords, according to the New York Post. He knows what the law is, and he knows how to make certain that he does what he wants to do without having to pay for it. And that is with nonviolent demonstrations in front of the federal government to investigate the Ferguson Police Department. I thought about the Ferguson issue in bed last night, and I decided that it may be different. The results of the grand jury may be different than what you think. And I believe that what should be done, frankly, to save the social order and to maintain peace and to subvert this demonic man in the White House and to subvert the gangs in the streets being run by all of the social activists, there's only one solution to this, and the grand jury has to calculate the legal and the political implications of their decision, not just the legal implications. And I believe that they should say that there are grounds to indict the officer. Listen to me carefully and don't cut me off in your mind. Listen carefully. And then what does that do? It takes the steam out of the street rats. What are they going to do? Riot over what? If Officer Wilson is indicted and has to go to trial, the street rats have to go home, don't they? What are they going to do? Burn buildings down anyway? So the street rats go home and they go back to what they do best, which is selling drugs or whatever they do to make a living. Then what happens? It will take a long time for Officer Wilson, his case, to go to trial, and it cannot be heard in Ferguson, Missouri. In fact, it can't even be heard in Missouri. It would have to be heard out of state because of the tainted nature of the potential jury pool. It would have to be heard in North Dakota or South Dakota in another state a year and a half from now, in which time he will get a fair trial. And I can guarantee you that the vermin in the street will not be there during the trial. They will have forgotten it and moved on to something else. And I think that is a possible outcome of the grand jury investigation into the issue of into the Ferguson issue. But that's a little side note to what's going on here with the status to illegal aliens. I've been working at this for 20 years. This is nothing new under the sun. And as you well know, it was going to take a dictator to come along one day. In this case, he's a good dictator, though. He's a good dictator if you're an illegal alien from Guatemala or Mexico. He's a good man. If, on the other hand, you're a taxpaying American who's seen your schools go from, let us say, in the top five to the lowest five in the world, if you've seen your hospitals go from first world status to third world status, if you've seen your crime rates that are not being reported go very, very high, then it's not a good thing. But then Obama doesn't speak to you, does he? No, Obama speaks to the other America, the America that doesn't really exist yet, the America that he's creating, the America that he and Axelrod and Valerie Jarrett and Michelle Obama and the other four horsewomen of the apocalypse are creating, a new America right in front of your eyes. It's interesting that I had a dream last night, and I want to ask you if you can interpret this dream, because I think it's related to what's going on. And the dream was of me trying to mail a pen to the military. That's the whole dream. It went on and on and on. It felt like it went on for hours. But it was me going with a pen in an envelope, and trying to take it to a man in a military uniform to mail it to the military. And I couldn't understand the dream, and it kept, the guy in the uniform kept saying, well, it'll get there, don't worry about it. I said, no, it can't be sent slowly. You can't send it by the U.S. Postal Service, it won't get there on time. Would you send this pen out by overnight mail, by FedEx? Don't use the U.S. Postal Service. And the officer kept saying, well, we don't know if we can use FedEx to send your pen to the military. Can anyone listening to this show tell me, would I, Michael Savage, who I'm a very intuitive person, and I have a very rational side, and I have a very mystical side, I have a dreamy side, and all of these sides come together sometimes to help me understand what's going on in the world. Can you interpret my dream of trying to mail a pen to the military? What does my dream mean? 855-407-2282, or if you care about the issue of illegal aliens, I'd like you to, you know, let's clear the air for a minute. So many people oppose amnesty for the illegals. But do you know why? Why do you oppose amnesty for illegal aliens? What are you, is it racism? Is it that you don't like brown people? Isn't that what it really is? Isn't it that they're all coming here to work? Now, it is true that one-third of the prison population consists of illegal aliens. But they were put there not because they raped or murdered or dealt drugs or committed some other felony. It's because they're racist, and the cops who arrested them were probably racist white cops who arrested them. And the judges were probably racist judges who put them there. And just as the Bastille was open before the French Revolution and before the guillotine started falling, perhaps we should open the prisons and release all the illegal aliens onto the streets of America to teach this damn middle class a lesson. I think it's time to open up the prisons of America and release the illegal aliens on the streets and really teach the middle class a lesson. Under the executive action plan, Obama would ease immigration rules on millions of undocumented immigrants. Now, what does that actually mean? Well, here's what it actually means. It's really simple. At a time when we have an economy that is still struggling for the people on the bottom and where wages are stagnant, he wants to dump at least 5 million people into the workforce. So tell me who's going to be hurt by this. Who is going to be hurt by this are the poorest workers in America. Certainly not the garbage in the streets of Ferguson. They're on welfare or they're dealing drugs. You're talking about people at the bottom who are working very hard or can't find a job. People have been pushed out of the workforce. And so these 5 million people are going to be driving them out of business. Not you. It's not going to affect Wall Street. It won't affect Charles Schumer's friends. It won't affect people in Brooklyn who work on Wall Street. It won't affect anyone on Wall Street. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you can make up money through various and sundry fiscal devices that don't even exist, if you can make money by making money by trading things that don't even exist with fiduciary instruments that were not even conceptualized as near as 10 years ago, why would you care about 5 million illegal aliens coming into America? You could care less. So that's the beginning of the show. We have my dream. We have Obama's announcement that he's going to make an announcement before he makes an announcement. And we have the Ferguson issue where I said that it's a high likelihood that the grand jury will evaluate this not only from a legal but from a political point of view. And in order to save the peace of the nation, since we have thugs like Al Sharpton threatening, quote, nonviolent demonstrations throughout America, and we have other addicts of various types and students with nothing to do, it would be smart to say, yes, there are grounds to indict Officer Wilson, although very, very minor grounds. We think it's fair to have a trial and then have the trial a year and a half from now out of state because he cannot get a jury of his peers in that state. It would have to be tried in an adjacent state. Amongst a jury of his peers, which should be at least 50% police officers, white police officers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House
smiley face.
Steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration system.
Oh, it's just all so legal.
Everybody agrees that
All right, let's stop it. You get it, the smiley face? He rehearsed the smiley face. All right, try it again. Take it for the top.
Hi, everybody.
Tomorrow. No. Not hi, everybody. Hold it down, Hank. Give him a little coffee there. Let's take it from the top now. You come out, you're cheerful, you make believe it's perfectly normal, even though you're shafting the American people and trampling the Constitution. We want them to think it's perfectly normal. We want the idiots out, guys. So let's take it from the top. Hi, everybody. No, not hi, everybody. It's not a variety show. It's kind of upbeat, but not theatrical. Upbeat, not theatrical. Right, take it again now. Take 12. All right, go for it. Let's hear this one. Let's hear it again. Go ahead, play it. Go ahead, play
it. Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, yeah. I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration
system. All right, stop right there. See, now that's good. Now you got the right tone. You're taking steps. You're fixing something that's broken. You're doing it in a modulated tone. You're not doing anything dictatorial. You don't want to do a Mussolini on him. You certainly don't want to go in the ranges of a Mussolini or an Idi Amin. You keep him calm. We've gotten this far conning the morons. You keep it going. You're a nice guy. You got a nice family. You mean well. You're certainly not an emperor. You're doing it to help people, including the American worker, even though you're undermining the American worker. Just keep it going at that pace. Now, pick it up from there, please, and let's hear the rest of it. You're doing fine. Keep it up,
Barry. Our immigration system is broken.
Unfortunately,
Washington has allowed the problem to fester.
Good. You're fixing what's broken.
And so what I'm going to be laying out is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as president
to make the system work better.
As I continue to work with Congress and encourage them to
Perfect. Okay, cut right there. All right, that's the tone, Mr. President. Thank you very much. That's good. You do that one on Thursday night. Very good. Friday, you do another one from Vegas with Reed. And you'll be a little more strident because you're going to be in a school with Hispanics. We want a little more life in that one, a little life because, you know, they're a passionate people. You don't take a moderate tone there. You'd be more excited. We get you sombrero. We get some music behind you. We get a little back band. You do a little more lively back there on Friday. But Thursday, nice and moderate, the national one, moderate, middle of the road. Friday, you celebrate with Reed. We'll play La Cucaracha behind you, whatever. Let's hear La Cucaracha on the way out on the Savage Nation, okay?
La Cucaracha,
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I will be there with them when the decision is announced. As important, Nash Action Network and I have mobilized 25 cities that we released that will be going immediately to federal buildings. To have vigils.
He's always so good at mobilizing. How come we can't mobilize? How come we can't mobilize? Because we work. The rent-a-mobs that he uses don't work. They're on welfare. They get government grants to riot on cue. And we mobilize for the election. The American people certainly were mobilized enough to throw the bums out. But that didn't stop the street vermin from mobilizing to mow us down. So those are some of the fun things we're doing. We're playing La Cucaracha, which if you can translate Spanish means the sugar cube. And my dream, I'll tell you the truth, the dream was, it was obsessive. Do you ever have a dream that goes on, you feel, for hours? This one felt like it went on. I was just me trying to mail a pen. And I remember the pen even. It's a funny thing. It was a high-quality, expensive ballpoint pen with an insertable cartridge someone gave me years ago that I found in a drawer that I had never used. I don't even know if they make them anymore. It was like a gift from 2004 I found in a cabinet. I was looking at it saying, wait a minute, what's this dream of me trying to mail a pen to the military? What does it mean? WBAP in Dallas. Michael, you have a dream interpretation. Fire it away.
All right, now the way I see this, we have a president and a secretary of defense that's taking and is just hauling out our military, taking equipment away from them, hauling them out, their morale and everything. And the way I see it is the pen is mightier than the sword. Therefore, you're desperately trying to give the military the tools necessary to mobilize them because it is their responsibility to protect us, the American people, from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And it's interesting you know, that it is a pen, being the writer that you are.
That's a brilliant interpretation where, in other words, I, Michael Savage, use the pen rather than the sword. And certainly I've written 28 books. The latest one, Stop the Coming Civil War, has a big chapter on the war on the U.S. military. And I guess I'm appealing to people in the military in some way to save this country from this gang that took over the country. See, I see them as a gang that's hijacked the country. I don't know how else to put it. They're using terms in the media like emperor. That means nothing. This is a gang. This is a hardcore left-wing gang that has stolen America right in front of our eyes. And now they're about to do the final coup de grace and kill us all together. Because once they grant amnesty to millions of illegal aliens and they have the vote, it is the end of America as you know it. We'll be nothing but a, we'll be a country very much like the countries of origin of the illegal aliens. Let me be very clear. Are you telling me the people from Guatemala are suddenly going to become Americans? Or are we going to become more like Guatemalans? You know and I know what this is about. We know what this is. It's an attempt to hijack the American ballot box, which they cannot control. And since they tried their best to hijack the ballot box and found out they lost, over and over again they lost. Remember this. Remember they lost in a huge way in 2010, and they wiped it away because of their friends at ABC, CBS, and NBC, CNN, and Fox News. They made believe the election didn't happen. And they had you believing. The propaganda was so relentless for 2 years going up to the election we just had that you thought that election didn't matter. Don't you remember how many seats they lost then? That was the first mandate on this criminal in the White House. I mean, this president in the White House. The first mandate said he's a bum, throw him out. But the media jumped in behind him because it's filled with the same kind of fellow travelers. And then what happened was it was an even bigger loss for them in 2012. And what has the Democrat Party done as a result? They've gone to the far left. Instead of moving to the center, they put in this left-wing harridan, Nancy Pelosi, who has destroyed the party with her mouth and her policies. Whatever this harridan has done has destroyed the Democrat Party, and they elected her to the leadership role again. So tell me that the Democrat Party, which can't even save itself, can save America. They cannot. So now let's go to the other side of the aisle. Who do we have there? Do I have to fill in the blanks? Do I have to fill in the blanks of what's going on the other side of the aisle? No, I don't. It's the Savage Nation. I can't say that I'm sad. I can't say that I'm happy. I'm agitated, yes. I'm agitated when I see street garbage threatening America over a grand jury announcement before it's even happened. I'm agitated that street garbage that's threatening violence is not arrested. I'm agitated that a tax dodger and a street garbage has a position on television and in the White House that in my lifetime I never thought I would see. It's like Pol Pot took over America and took the worst vermin he could find and puts them in positions of power. I feel like I'm living through a communist revolution. And in fact, I've made that statement on this show before. This is a slow but steady revolution that has gone on in the last 6 years under this radical president of ours. Do I have to define him as a Marxist again just to say the word? What does the word Marxist mean? What does it mean when you say Marxist, Marxist? And then he jokes about it. He knows how to triangulate his opposition who is onto him. He's joked about it several times. Oh, they've even called me a Marxist. Oh, they've even called me a Muslim. Well, that's because he is a Marxist and a Muslim. I mean, he understands that. By definition, he's a Muslim. That doesn't make him a bad man. There are many fine Muslims on the planet. There are many anti-terrorist Muslims working in this government. There are many fine anti-terrorist Muslims working in Pakistan against Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So you can't blanket say all Jews are this, all Muslims, all Christians. I understand that. But to deny you're a Muslim is actually embarrassment, frankly. Why doesn't he just proudly say he's a Muslim to get into that topic? His natural father from Kenya was a Muslim. Therefore, by patrilineal descent, he is a Muslim by definition. Can't he just say that? My father was a Muslim, then my mother, after he left my mother, she married a Muslim from Indonesia, and I went to a madrasas in Indonesia, where I studied the Holy Quran. I have great sympathies for this great religion, and I'm a Muslim. But that doesn't mean that I'm a terrorist. In fact, I oppose terrorism. Even though I've had CAIR in the White House numerous times, and I've forced them to, I forced the FBI and the military to listen to them. And even though the United Arab Emirates just yesterday declared the Council on American Islamic Relations a terrorist organization, a terrorist front group, hey, that doesn't stop me, because I don't think they are. See, this is what I'm saying. All right. Now let's get a little bit going here. It's Fort Leavenworth, KCMO in Kansas. Janelle, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
It had to do with your dream. I was talking to my husband, and my husband heard it, and he was saying that it has to do with the book that you have written about the upcoming Civil War and how the government...
Okay, but Janelle, you have to, come on, better phone here. Talk into the phone.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud. Okay, so it has to do with my dream. My dream has to do with what, my book?
Yes, your book, how before the election, nobody could get a hold of your book. They stopped the process of your book being distributed. So that's what it is. The pen is that book. It's your message you're trying to get out to everybody.
Interesting. Well, it is, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword, but Obama's using a pen. I think that's the meaning of the dream. Obama has said with the stroke of a pen he's going to undo our Constitution and flood us with millions of non-citizens and make them basically into instant citizens. So he has the power of the pen. But is he the only man with the power of the pen? What I'm saying is no. We all have pens. We all have the power of the pen. We all can counter this situation with our own pens, Janelle.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying. We're not powerless here. We are the majority. We are the majority. It's that simple. Amarillo, Texas on KNSH. That's like Knish. KNSH Radio. That's not in Jerusalem, is it? Knish Radio. Amarillo, Texas. Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. This morning I called one of my senator's offices here in Texas. I called Cornyn's office in D.C. And the person that I spoke to, they were rather condescending, and they asked me if I had an alternative, something that Senator Cornyn could do. And I read verbatim your plan, and they weren't too keen on that. They quickly thanked me and then hung up on me. And I thought,
well, you should have told them that Al Sharpton wrote the book, even though he's apparently illiterate. If it was written by Al Sharpton, perhaps they would have listened to you in Cornyn's office. Or Jesse Jackson, or some other sterling literary figure in the American constellation of minds. Hey, thanks for trying. Now, what you're going to hear over the next few days from the con man in chief is that the executive action mirrors that of Reagan and Bush. That's what the con man in chief has told his minions at the New York Times, the old York Times, to say. But the fact of the matter is, this executive action on immigration is not exactly the same as making policy by decree. Because if you study the steps taken by Reagan and George H.W. Bush, whose executive actions, demon cats, continue to cite as precedent, what you will find is what I've been telling you for years, because I've shown you that Truman knew how to use executive orders, and even he was overridden by the Supreme Court. It shows only that when Reagan and George H.W. Bush use executive actions, they were only using their power to expand laws that had recently been passed by Congress, not to write new laws. But by contrast, what the con man, snake, is expected to do would go way beyond the actions of Congress. And the snake's expected executive actions would not be attached to any recently passed law. So to compare the snake's executive actions to those of Reagan and Bush is typical of what you'd expect from Nancy Pelosi. And I can show you chapter and verse how it is not the same as Reagan and Bush. Not at all. There's just no comparison whatsoever. In 1986, Congress approved the Immigration Reform and Control Act, IRCA. It made illegal immigrants eligible for temporary legal status if they have been living in the U.S. since 1982 and they paid a fee and demonstrated good moral character. Notice what it said. Congress approved the Immigration Reform and Control Act. Do you understand that? It wasn't the president who wrote the law. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? The president didn't write the law. Presidents cannot write law. Many of you don't even understand how your government works. Presidents cannot write law. They cannot make law. He knows that. The reason he went to law school is to figure out how to screw us by evading the law. It's that simple. Okay, I'm not going to eat my heart out over this. I'm going to do as much as I can. I've written so many books on this subject. I'm trying my best to stop the man before he destroys not only the demographics of America, but the meaning of the word citizenship, the meaning of the value of the vote for which so many men died. You think that they landed on Anzio Beach and at Normandy and Iwo Jima, so that this charlatan could crush America with the stroke of a pen. I want you to think about back on all the men who died on all the beaches and all the mountains and under the seas and in the air over the years, so that this treasonous scoundrel could take over the country and do as he wishes with it. Is that what they killed him? Is that why they threw themselves on grenades? So that he and his ilk could come here and commit treason? People can justify a government's controversial policies and actions for only so long, until they see a pattern of abuse of power. And then even the most devout supporters of any regime must decide if they support these extreme policies and actions or oppose them. With this current government under Obama, this point of no return was reached for some of you when you slowly realized the extent of the vast National Security Agency spying scandal, where they now monitor every phone call in the United States of America without any court order. For others of you, it was the release of the known Islamist terrorists from the Gitmo Bay prison without congressional knowledge. But for most Americans, the flood of tens of thousands of illegal immigrants from Central America, purposely created by the administration to overwhelm our southern borders, was the final straw. That happened this summer. For men like me who have studied governments that have taken nations from freedom to fascism, the handwriting has been on the wall for many years. My only question is this. Will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? Is this just right-wing conspiracy talk? That's the opening page to stop the coming civil war. It is more pertinent today than it was when I wrote it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
This is not amnesty. This is prioritization. This is saving money. This is keeping families together. This is allowing children to not come home to places where their parents have been thrown from their places of work and taken away from them. I'm excited about the courage of this president. I look forward to America finally understanding the gifts that you are given. Let us not be a self.
Turn this lunatic off. Sheila Jackson Lee, as you well know, one of the brightest women in the United States of America, probably smarter than Martha Washington, calling it not amnesty, but prioritization. What I don't understand is how an African-American woman can be so excited about granting amnesty to individuals who will be hurting mainly the poorest of the poor in the country, which includes a large number of African-Americans who are on the bottom end of the job scale. I don't understand. Why is she representing the Hispanic lobbies? I don't quite understand that. You could understand a guy like Gutierrez. That's all. Him, you can understand where he came from. A man of his low ilk getting so far so fast. You understand the forces behind him. But where does she shine in all of a sudden to be so obsessed about the Hispanic lobby? I don't get it. I don't get it. I can't put two and two together on that one. Do we have the montage? We did the montage already. So we're talking about the amnesty that they're calling everything but amnesty by any other name. And it'll be done tomorrow after the show is over, thank God. German auction house puts Hitler watercolor on market. Nothing to do with that subject. I'm just interested in stories. German auction house puts Hitler watercolor on market. How do we know it's real and not a copy? He wasn't bad. People say he was a bad artist. He wasn't that bad. I wish I could paint as well as Hitler did in his early days, before he was a dictator. I mean, look at it. They say, well, includes an original 1916 bill of sale from a Munich art dealer.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration system. What I'm going to be laying out is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as president.
Dai picchi nevosi delle Alpi alle contrade siciliane e sarde tutto il popolo italiano.
Zabbondi, razdondi, musti, zaflecchi. Luf, imusti, occupanti. Da zdravstu, nasha, slavna e rodina. Gino svoboda, gino zavis, od znamenim ljudina. Vjerioz, pavit.
Las capacidades y energías del país en el que dentro de la unidad nacional el trabajo, estimado como el más ineludible de los deberes, será el único exponente de la voluntad popular. Y merced a él...
I will be there with them when the decision is announced. Nash Action Network and I have mobilized 25 cities to be released. That will be going immediately.
We got the picture. You got the whole thing there. You got Obama, Mussolini, Stalin, Franco, and Sharpton. Well, the reason I did that is because we are a multicultural nation, and we can't be racist about it and only play English speeches on the show. And we're told by the libs that we're multicultural, multiracial, multilingual. I figured that we should have some other languages thrown in to go along with the flavor of the day of working within the law. I mean, Obama is not breaking the law. He says he's making the law. He actually is not even saying he's making the law. He's just doing it, that's all. And it feels good, do it. I mean, isn't that the adage of the libs? If it feels good, do it. So it feels good to him to grant amnesty to illegals. Now, they're not calling it amnesty. It's called something else. I get it. But the fact is that he's in a long line of others who have taken the law unto themselves and said they're not taking the law unto themselves. Others who have said they're acting within the law when they were acting clearly outside of the law. I don't know of a single dictator who has ever done anything where they said we're doing it, we're breaking the law. When Hitler invaded a neighboring country, he said he was simply taking back German land on the Lebensraum, living room. I mean, you may have a living room in your house, which they now call the great room, but Hitler wasn't happy with the great room that he got there in Munich, and he wanted more living room. His house needed a bigger living room, so he took a neighbor's country away, that's all. But he didn't do it illegally. He said he was doing it perfectly legally, like Obama. Now, you listen to Obama. Listen to the measured tones as they rehearsed them. You could just imagine this. I could just picture the staff around him now. Close your eyes now. Settle down. Picture Axelrod there in a sweatshirt. Picture it's cold outside there in Washington, snowing. They've just written a global warming bill while freezing inside the White House, throwing more wood on the fire. And there's Axelrod on a Sunday wearing a sweatshirt. There's Valerie Jarrett wearing a heavy overcoat. And the other four horsewomen wearing minks or whatever they wear behind the scenes. And they're all watching the president get ready for this presentation. So let's hear how it goes. And let's imagine what they're telling him. Let's hear it.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be
all right, let's stop
announcing.
Right there. Mr. President, hold it a minute. Hold it. It's a little too cheerful. You're not doing a variety show. It's not Howdy Doody. Okay, let's back it up a bit. We want cheerful, but we don't want deliberate cheerful. We want upbeat, but we don't want theatrical. Okay, Mr. President, let's take it from the top. Okay, try it again.
Tomorrow night,
that's better.
I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some
Very
steps
good.
That I can take to start
good,
fixing
good,
our broken
good.
Immigration system.
Good, it's broken.
Everybody
yeah.
agrees that our immigration system is broken.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
good,
Washington has allowed the problem to fester
right.
for
good,
too long.
Good, good, good.
And
fixing
so what I'm going to be laying out
good.
Is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as president.
Ah,
to
okay,
make
you
the
got it. All right,
well,
we don't have to rehearse anymore. Thank you very much. You go back to the putting there and the very good. Very good. You go back to putting. Thank you very much, Mr. President. You can practice your putt now. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Valerie, is that going to work for you? Yeah. All right. All right, we'll see you guys later. He's going to do that speech on, let's say, Thursday. Then Friday gives a bigger one. And remember, on Friday when he does it in front of that school with Hispanic kids, with Reed, upbeat, 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 upbeat. We don't want the same measured tone. They're an emotional people. They're very passionate. They're Latin-blooded. We want upbeat. We want excitement. We want to show that we really care, okay? Friday's speech is different. We're going to do that one tomorrow. All right, now let's take it from the top.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night,
all right,
I'm going to be...
enough already. That's enough. I've done it. I've had my fun for the day. I have an imagination. That's all. So here's a couple of headlines that I haven't read yet. Gun sales surge ahead of jury's Ferguson decision. I wonder why suburban St. Louis residents are getting guns. Could it be because of peace-loving men like Al Sharpton are in the neighborhood? Protest leaders say they're preparing for nonviolent demonstrations. There's been over 200 incidents of looting since their nonviolent protests began. And then their protests began. Why is Al Sharpton not under an IRS criminal investigation? Do you know how much money this man has made attacking the New York Police Department with that degenerate lawyer that he used with the long hair with the ponytail that got with the accused rape at his party, 60-year-old, that they caught him in the Hamptons taking out the garbage with the ponytail down? You don't know who I'm talking about. Sharpton has made a fortune with his Goniff lawyer in New York for the last 30 years suing the New York City Police Department. And remember, he started with the Tawana Brawley rape hoax. And some have said that the con man has graduated from a cheap red jogging suit with rib stains on it, stains of fat on it, to expensive suits, which he proclaimed in a deposition he did not own. And he's gone from running a bad AM talk radio show in New York City to the most horrendously illiterate show in the history of MSNBC with his own television, where he reads a teleprompter, which he shares with the president. Now, at the time of the Tawana Brawley incident, you have to remember there was the Sharpton incited violence that led to the death of 8 people at Freddie's Fashion Mart in Harlem. Al Sharpton was one of the loudest critics of Fred Harari, the Jewish owner of Freddie's. Sharpton and a bunch of other anti-Semites claimed Harari was evicting the owner of a store called the Record Shack, which was owned by an African-American named Sikulu Sheng. There's only one problem with this story. Harari was merely a tenant in the building, not the owner. But the United House of Prayer, a largely black Pentecostal church, owned the building and was evicting Sheng because he was not paying his rent. But thanks to the demagogue Sharpton and the others, Roland James Smith Jr. walked into Freddy's with a gun, ordered all the black people out of the store, and proceeded to set the store on fire. He was killed along with 7 others. So there was Al Sharpton outside. He had nothing to do with it. He was wearing I think that the jogging suits in those days were flammable. So he was outside. He wanted to make certain that he was. Now, you understand that this man has gotten where he is through racial hatred and race hustling. We understand that. But how could the president, who's such a slick con man, who's gotten so far, why would he have him in the White House 30 times? Doesn't Axelrod understand the liability that Sharpton is to their operation? I mean, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, right? Now, they're making quite an omelet there. They're making a souffle in the White House now with the illegal aliens. Why would they carry the burden of Sharpton with them? I don't know. They're smart guys. Look how far they've gotten conning the world with their game. Why would they carry? I don't understand what he has on them. I don't get this. Why does he get away with it? Because there's money going back over 10 years. There's stories about Sharpton going back 10 years with money. He earns his money, what he paid in taxes, what he declares his income. And according to an article in today's New York Post, he hasn't paid his taxes in a long time. That's what it's unbelievable to me. 2 new lawsuits are taking a different approach to challenging universities that consider race in their admissions. Again, race in admissions? That's why the university is doing so well. Oh, yeah. Since affirmative action has been used for admissions, let me ask a simple question. Let's start with a simple question. Don't get excited now. Since race has been used in admissions to universities, here's a question. Has the quality of speech and the quality of the written word in America gone up or down? That's all. Since race has been used in admissions to universities, has crime gone up or has crime gone down on college campuses? That's question 2 of the Savage poll for the day. And here's the 3rd one in a very simple poll. Since race has been used in college admissions, has America gone up or down on the level of academic qualifications with regard to technology and science in the world? Very simple. Not a hard question, series of questions to answer. You can direct it to the National Action Network for their answer. Okay, what else is in the news on the Savage Nation? Let's play a tape from one of the slimiest people in the American political landscape, which represented Louis Gutierrez, where he says no government money will be spent on illegals. This is a scream. Listen to 12.
I think the president's going to choose between 5 and 10 years. That is, you have to be in the United States for 5 to 10 years, and you have to have been working here, and you're going to pay for a background check. You're going to submit your fingerprints, and if they come back clear, he's going to give you a work authorization for 2 years and a Social Security card.
He's going to give you a work card? I mean, him and Michelle have a bunch of machines in the White House. They're going to just be printing cards for all of the illegal aliens. They're going to come through the back door of the White House. He's going to give you a work card? What do you mean he's going to give you a card? Well, this is an example of what affirmative action has done to the American political landscape. And now it's time to move on to something far more important, which is a fabulous book review written by Wes Vernon of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. And I have to read you parts of it because the writing is so good. Obviously, Wes went to school prior to affirmative action, and he learned how to read, number one. And he learned not only how to read, he learned how to write. He is a pre-affirmative action resident of the journalistic class. Michael Savage is not the only writer to conclude this nation is more divided now than at any time since the Civil War. And he goes into the book and he says this. In Savage's latest book, it would likely follow that a second Civil War would be more dangerous than the first. Our population has increased tenfold since Lincoln's time, and modern weaponry is far more destructive. A shooting war on our soil, God forbid, would likely yield more lost lives than the 600,000 sacrificed in the mid-19th century. Everything is at stake, the author asserts. One concludes a potential mid-21st century civil war would even surpass in emotionality the slavery and economic dividers that spurred the mid-19th century conflict. Writing in Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth, he tells us we are peacefully fighting, many of us without knowing it, the world revolution that he defines as the conflict the current administration is pushing in the name of a broader worldwide liberal revolution in which, quote, the forces of the left are attempting nothing less than a socialist takeover of the world economy and global politics. At this point, the reader might ask himself, well, haven't we been arguing over socialism since FDR's New Deal and even before? No, this isn't just the socialism debated at political conventions, the socialism cited by dilettantes who go back to their real jobs on Monday morning, the socialism we sometimes defined as communism on a slow train. What we face now is yesterday's slow train at high speed. This is the nightmare writ large, here and now. This is an author trying to shake his countrymen with an urgency of, this is it, wake up. Mr. Savage is writing about an administration whose concept of a true revolution is remarkably similar to the old Brezhnev doctrine, i.e., that once the revolution gains power, its dominance is here to stay. Coincidentally, within days of the release of Stop the Coming Civil War, a Democratic Party operative intoned on TV that you can elect all the Republicans you want, but Obamacare is irreversible. The book's first chapter is headlined Graduating to Treason with a question mark. Obviously, there are no dilettantes in this battle in the author's view. He writes, quote, we are under assault from both inside and out as our government moves to consolidate its domestic power, while at the same time weakening our defenses against the growing power of our enemies. I'll pause right there because it's probably the most interesting of all the reviews written on my book, and it's worth reading, especially at a time when we see that we have a dictator in the White House emerging from the shadows and coming out of his chrysalis in his last 2 years. Coming out of his chrysalis in his last 2 years in office. Look up the word chrysalis. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON.
I believe that when the president decides to do this executive order, he should go big as he can, and there's precedent for him going back to the Eisenhower administration to do something just like this. Immigration should not prevent Senator McConnell and Boehner from working with me to fund the government on this issue. This is really hard to comprehend.
What's happening with Harry Reid? What is he falling apart at this? What's with him? And why are they all using the word go big? Yesterday, Louis Gutierrez, who knows something about big, I would guess, says he should go big. Then others said they should go big. Now today, does someone write these speeches and they, okay, all right, here's the phrase. All right, here's the missive goes out. We're going to go big. Everything's going to go big. It's like advertising, okay? You got that? Send it out to Reed. Send it up to Gutierrez. Send it out to Lee. Everyone says go big, okay? Don't bother me with this again. Whatever they say, always say go big, all right? Now let's go back to the review of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, written by Wes Vernon. I'll finish it up. If you're bored, I'm sorry. It's so well written, I have to read it. And he says, it is not as if an invasion of America materialized overnight. The enemy has been engaged on a long march against America's borders, language, and culture. Its military, our middle class, American medicine, civil rights, in the genuine as opposed to phony sense of the term, science, our schools and our allies, see Israel to name one. This is a war against everyday Americans with the battle lines drawn. The haves against the have-nots. The illegal aliens against hard-working middle-class families. Liberals who hate the Second Amendment versus lawful gun owners, millions of whom refuse to register their guns and ammunition in anti-gun jurisdictions. Climate activists whose policies cause forest fires and exacerbate drought against those who understand the effect of human activity on the climate is negligible. Anti-Christian communist educators versus God-fearing families. If that slow train is now high speed, Mr. Savage believes the enemy's starting point is the nation's schools. Whereas Stalin had his re-education camp, says Savage, Mr. Obama has the U.S. education system, he charges. But are we past the proverbial point of no return? And then I answer it. And I answer it in the best way I can, with reason, intelligence, and on a fiscal basis. Would you please finally send it to one congressman or senator before it's too late? Please stop the coming civil war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are celebrating the new America today on the Savage Nation. Marijuana quesu what? Turn that, wait a minute. Marijuana quesu who? What did they just say? It's about cock. What do you say? Cockroaches who smoke marijuana? What is this song about? I mean, he's not talking about Harvard, is he? Well, here we are. We had an earthquake at the polls. And, of course, Obama the next day got up and said, what election are you talking about? They're not my people. Therefore, they don't count. We had an election, but we threw the Democrats into the street because America concluded that the left wing in America had ruined the country. And they don't like seeing their insurance premiums going up through the roof. Even though they were told that if you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. I mean, if you like your insurance company, you can keep your insurance company. Or if you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. I mean, if you like your doctor, you can keep your... You know what I'm saying. The voters actually didn't like Obama. They didn't like Pelosi. They don't like Reid. So he's been rejected twice now at the polls since he was foisted upon us. And the next day after, he gets up there and says, look, I know there was an election, but it doesn't really matter. Because the people who like me didn't vote. They were busy rioting in the streets of Ferguson. But I guarantee you that I have a pen which I will use for the next 2 years. And when the presidential election comes around, we'll have the rioters at the ballot boxes along with 5 to 20 million illegal aliens voting. That's all. So why should he pay attention to you? 855-407-282. Let's take some calls in the Savage Nation. Let's go to Schenectady, New York. You're buried in snow. Joe, how's the snowstorm up there?
We didn't get it yet. It's out in Buffalo.
Oh, you're not in Buffalo. You're in Schenectady.
I'm on the other end of the state. I'm in the good part of the state here.
So what's on your mind today?
I wanted to know why they did a Fox News report on Maddie, the dog.
Yeah.
Recovered for the wounded warrior there.
Yep.
And your involvement was never mentioned, and it really upset me because I know you're the one who started this.
Listen, I have nothing to say. You know, Joe, Fox is run by people who hate me for reasons I'll never understand. I mean, they pretend that they care about the nation and concerns. It's a business to them like any other, and They're competitors of mine. They don't want to have a guy who upstaged the whole network, glorified by them. I'm blacklisted by Bill O'Reilly and whatever his name is, the fat guy who runs Fox. I don't know the guy who runs Fox. He looks like Sidney Greenstreet without the Panama suit. I don't know his name. I don't remember him. Roger Ailes. And I don't know why. I have no idea why. I had two of the girls from the network at a party I had in New York in August. They wouldn't even have me on. Go figure. I thought they were my friends. I can't figure it out, Joe.
Well, I just want to...
I don't know. Look, if the people... The main thing is the guy got the dog back, and I said that there are no heroes, and there are no villains here, all heroes, and I thank my audience. I don't need the credit for it. I'm really glad that the soldier who was wounded got his dog back at the end of the day.
Said you probably didn't want the credit. And I says, I don't know. He deserves it.
No, I would want the credit. I'm in a competitive business. Of course I'd want it. At least a nod. I mean, they have pimps and prostitutes on every day. Yesterday, I had a guy on with a small toilet seat, a guy who invented a squatty toilet seat on the network. So you'd figure they have a guy on who got a dog back for a veteran. They have everybody imaginable on. If they could get the guy in prison with the swastika on his head on, they would. What's his name? Who's the guy in prison with the swastika? Charles Manson. If Bill O'Reilly could get Charles Manson an exclusive interview, I guarantee he'd take him rather than me. So go figure how a man thinks. I don't know what goes through a guy's head who lives in Manhasset, Long Island. Maybe it's the water in Manhasset. It could be something in the water. I don't really know, Joe. Joe, I'm not above it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. We're all in business together here, but meaning competing with each other is what it comes down to. And people make believe they're on the same team. I got the guy's dog back through the audience. Pressure was applied. That's all that matters to me. And one other thing, Joe, there's a footnote. I offered to buy the soldier a car when he is finally released from the Army. He's going to need a car for a guy who's mildly handicapped and a dog who was injured. And I'm going to stick by those words. I'm not looking to raise money for it. I'm going to buy him a van, a handy van, for him and the dog, and God bless him. I know I'll sleep better at nights. That's simple. I don't need anyone to give me a halo for it, right?
God bless you. You're going to get it.
All right. Thanks, my friend, for noticing. People know, just as they know Obama's a liar, and they know that Reid is a liar, and they know that Gutierrez is a slime ball, and they know Al Sharpton should be arrested by the IRS, they know what's going on. And, you know, just do your thing and hope for the best. So as Wes, I'm not going to go back to the Wes Vernon write-up. I want to do this. Here's what he wrote about Obama with the pen. He said, and this guy was an adjunct professor of constitutional law. Just as the government issues a recall for defective automobiles or whatever, we must send out a recall to all the students who took his class. Those poor kids at the time apparently were taught that the Constitution says, quote, all legislation shall be written in the Oval Office of the White House. The president shall direct his underlings on Capitol Hill to get cracking and rubber stamp the orders from the nation's chief executive, who shall snap his fingers and warn, we can't wait. Whereupon his obedient servants in the House and Senate shall cease and desist from attempting to write their own legislation or even vote it down, regardless of the possibility that in sheer impudence, their constituents sent them to Washington to decide the fate of proposed laws, close quote. And what is the emergency, he writes. Let's imagine that all over the nation, young lawyer graduates from Obama's law class have been citing their understanding of the Constitution only to be confronted by skeptical judges who thereupon have proceeded to laugh them out of their courtrooms. And then he goes on saying, unfortunately, in real life, the man can still do damage even though he's up against a more level playing field the next 2 years. Right? So that's why he's rushing it now during the lame duck Congress, because he still has the losers in there, the people who are still pushing the global warming myth in the midst of a blizzard covering two-thirds of the United States. Need I add? And notice that Al Gore is never seen during blizzards. I don't know where he goes. He must have a vacation home in the Bahamas somewhere, but whenever there's blizzards, he disappears. That is, that when there's blizzards in the winter, I should say. If there's a blizzard in the summer, you can be sure Gore will be in the midst of it wearing mucklucks and a pair of pajamas. So what would you like to talk about? The other things I had wanted to talk about that have escaped my mind. I'm not sure executive action on immigration is that interesting to the average person. I don't know if you really care about it. Do you really care? Do you really care about the wave of illegals? Do you really care about 20, 30, 40 million illegal aliens who can't speak the language, won't speak the language, who don't salute the flag, won't salute the flag? Do you really care about the diseased amongst them? Do you really care about the decimation of our hospitals and schools and our prisons? Does that really matter to you? Is that something that's of any importance to you? Because according to Gutierrez, it's not going to cost us any money. They're all coming here to work. So let's be rational about this for a minute, and let's not be hysterical. Let's start from the top. Let's have a frank discussion about illegal immigrants amongst us, okay? I am the son of an immigrant. Therefore, I know what it is to be part of a struggling class of people. I grew up around poor people who worked their way up out of poverty to the lower middle class, let us say. I went to a city college. I couldn't go to a private college. I wanted to go to somewhere out of state, something Ivy League. I could have gotten in, but I just couldn't. We didn't have the money. My father point blank told me in my senior year, he said, I'm sorry, Michael, but you're going to have to work while you're in college. I can't afford it. I have a small little store and your mother doesn't work. She takes care of the home and we have a little house and you're going to have to make it in the world on your own. So, okay, that's it. I didn't argue with him. I didn't cry about it. I had no government grants. So I understand what it is to be an immigrant's son and an immigrant. I saw how hard they work. They weren't noble particularly, but they were hardworking people who believed in getting ahead by working, and that was the end of it, and keeping their noses clean and not violating any laws and raising their son the best way they could and, you know, keeping him in line, yelling at him, screaming at him, insulting him, debasing him, telling him he's no good, never amount to anything. In other words, the good old-fashioned European way of child rearing, which is through abuse and neglect. It worked. Look how far I've gotten. So the fact is I understand the immigrant's mentality because many of them think exactly the way my father did, which is why they love my show. Now, I want to ask you a question and be rational, even if you're on the side of granting amnesty to illegals. Do you think that the millions of undocumented illegal aliens in this country who are working here really want another wave? If you were to ask the average Guatemalan housekeeper who's making probably 25 bucks an hour working in someone's home in America legally, let us say, does she want her hourly wage cut by half or more by another wave of illegals from Guatemala who will work for $8 an hour? Do you think that that gardener who has worked here for the last 10 years, let's say from Mexico, nice people, I know them, and they're making a living sufficient to buy a new pickup truck, and I don't know, maybe they have a little house somewhere in a neighborhood, they're working their way up. Do you think that they want a gardener to come along on your street, someone who was newly minted here by Obama and Gutierrez, to say he'll do it for 50% of the cost? Of course he doesn't. Do you think that the poor whites and the poor blacks in America who are struggling to find a job to make ends meet want to go and find out that not only are there not more jobs, but fewer jobs? Well, all of these answers are evident in the questions that I raise. I made it very fiscal, very unracial, very unemotional. And I think that you have to come to the conclusion that this makes no sense from the point of view of fiscal responsibility. So you have to ask yourself, why is this demonic man in the White House pushing this forward when he's just suffered the greatest loss at the ballot box his party has seen in the last 60 years? Why? What is motivating him to grant amnesty to millions and millions of illegals when it will only hurt the poor and hurt especially Hispanics who have worked their way up a little bit in this country? Why is he doing it? Who is he satisfying by this? Now, you might jump to the wrong conclusion and say Bill Gates and Zuckerberg of Facebook and those people who run these mega corporations who want to cut their labor costs by hiring immigrants with B-1B visas, which, by the way, will be attached to this bill as sure as I'm standing here. Whatever he writes, he's going to make certain that Bill Gates makes more billions and that Zuckerberg, who can't buy enough undershirts with all the money he has, will buy even more undershirts because he'll be getting workers at B-1B visas from India, China, etc., who will work for less, and he'll have more workers for lower wages. That'll be in there somehow. But they're not the motivator behind this. So who is? Who is pushing this? What is so urgent about this amnesty at this time? Why does La Raza, want all of these millions of illegal aliens kosher, certified as citizens? Why does La Raza, number one, how does La Raza get so powerful? If you ask yourself, how did La Raza get this far? Yeah, I don't know the answer. How did Obama take Cecilia Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z, who had been working as the CEO of La Raza? The minute Obama became president, he hired her away from La Raza, or and put her into the White House as domestic policy advisor. This would be the equivalent, in my opinion, of a very conservative right wing, if you want to call it that, president who gets elected and immediately hires somebody from the Ku Klux Klan, because the Ku Klux Klan is a white supremacist organization. I know it's hard for you to believe that La Raza and the Ku Klux Klan could be compared in the same sentence, but I want you to think about this from a rational point of view. The Ku Klux Klan is a reprehensible organization that stands for white supremacism, doesn't it? What does La Raza mean? It means the race. And what do they stand for? They stand for Hispanic supremacism. And yet Obama took a woman, Cecilia Munoz, look her up, took her from La Raza, and put her into the White House to lobby for the last number of years to make what's about to happen happen. That's what's going on right in front of your nose. It's not good for America. It's not good for the immigrant class. And it's certainly not good for the Hispanics who have come here over the years and have finally gotten a little toehold in America. And that's why I have to say vote no on amnesty. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Immigration, immigration, immigration. There's riots in Italy right now over the flood of illegal aliens in Italy. The poor are rioting because they said their own government is spending more time and money on the illegal aliens, mainly from Africa, than they are on Italians who are out of work and living on dirt. It's no different here. The elites want something out of this, and I figured out what it is because I just found it. You haven't heard this yet on any radio show. Tucked into Obama's benevolence towards the unwashed masses of illegal aliens, I'm reading you a sentence you're not going to believe. There, Obama will act to help companies hire and retain high-skilled workers from abroad, the sources said. So that does answer the question. It's Zuckerberg, it's Bill Gates, it's all the high-tech billionaires who are so greedy and so un-American, in my estimation, that to make even more money and more profit and undercut American skilled workers, they'd rather pay less on B-1B visas. So in other words, mixed into all of this, and really the reason for it all, as usual, is big business. Bill Gates, Zuckerberg are acting behind the scenes, and they have been openly, for this mass of illegals to cover up their desire to shaft American high-skilled tech workers. They want to bring in more from abroad who will work at 50 cents on the dollar. It's that simple. Are you telling me that there aren't American workers who could work for Microsoft or Facebook right now? Of course there are. But that's not good enough for these greedy pigs. I'm sorry to have to say that to you. So everything must be the bottom line? You mean the cheaper labor is better labor? It's better for the country? In other words, they'd rather sacrifice America's emotional, medical, and legal security for a healthier bottom line. Do you understand that a country cannot survive this kind of greedy pig? Now, by the way, this is going to trigger even more illegals to come in after this is done. Obama's move will have the unintended effect of increasing illegal immigration along the U.S. southern border with Mexico because it will be perceived as a softening of U.S. policy toward future migrants. They're lining up right now. And shame on Homeland Security's Jeb Johnson, who is doing nothing to protect this nation's border. The country is out of control. The fact of the matter is we have the most lawless administration in modern American history. Certainly there have been examples in other centuries of brigands and thieves who have taken over the country. But it's never been this dangerous and this broad. On that winning note, this is Michael Savage, a champion for America's borders, language, and culture, saying thanks for listening and God bless America. By the way, there's another big hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It should be done line by line, section by section, with the input of the public, instead of being done by one person. It looks more like a dictatorship when a president is unilaterally making decisions for the American people.
Just elected to the Senate, I believe. Isn't it the Senate? Is she a senator? I don't remember. Congress. African-American. She's a Mormon, and she just shocked everybody because she won. How could a black be a Mormon? That's the first question to the liberals in New York. They don't even understand that. Secondly, how could a black woman be a Republican there? That shocked number two. And number three, since she won her race and became a congresswoman in an all-white district, a largely white district, they ignored it completely because it doesn't fit the protocols of the New York Times. As I speak, a White House dinner is being prepared for 14 of the worst senators in American history to discuss the illegal actions of the president, which will be announced tomorrow night, on amnesty for illegals under the guise of something else. And listen to the list of those invited to the White House dinner. We just got this. To discuss Obama's amnesty plan. Reid, of course. Did you know that Las Vegas, actually Nevada, is home to the largest number of illegal aliens in America? Did you know that? Go figure that one out. How'd that happen? Answer, hotel workers. You didn't know that? Yeah. Reid, Durbin, you know Durbin, don't you? He called our troops Nazis and fascists, remember that? A real friend of the military, old Durbin, but he got reelected because he represents Michigan, which has a large Muslim population in Dearborn. I mean, I don't know whether they're accounting for his continuous reelection campaign. I don't understand this. Here's a man who called the American military Marines in Iraq Nazis and fascists, and yet he gets reelected. Schumer, as you well know, Big Shoe Schumer. Patty Murray from Washington State, you know about Emmenclaw, Washington. Do I have to tell you what goes on there? Stabenow, Bennett, Leahy, and Menendez. And Leahy, as you well know, is Leaky Leahy. He's known as Leaky Leahy. He's never met a secret he didn't leak. And Menendez, for obvious reasons, because he has a condominium somewhere that he shouldn't have one that didn't get reported, he was invited. So everyone is on the wrong side of America and the wrong side of the law, in my estimation. The wrong side of American history and the wrong side of history has been invited to the White House to discuss immigration tonight on the people's platters and the people's dishes. Go figure. If you care to comment on anything except immigration, the phone number is 855-407-282. Obama's Labor Day trips cost taxpayers $1,539,402 in flight costs alone, according to CNS News. President Obama's Labor Day weekend trips for fundraising and personal business cost taxpayers $1.5 million in transportation expense alone, according to records from the U.S. Air Force obtained by Judicial Watch. According to Judicial Watch, the $1.5 million included flights for fundraising trips to Westchester, New York, and Providence, Rhode Island, which cost $527,000. Transportation for a round-trip flight from D.C. to Westchester to attend a wedding, which cost $358,000. And another flight to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to speak at LaborFest 2014, which cost $653,000. These taxpayer-funded flights helped Obama attend two fundraisers for the DNC in New York, another fundraiser, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. He also went to a high-profile wedding of the White House chef, Sam Cass, to an MSNBC host and liberal commentator who you never heard of. And finally, a trip to Milwaukee to deliver a campaign speech at LaborFest 2014. Obama even cost taxpayers an extra $295,000 just so he could go home to spend the night in his own bed before returning for a wedding. This is a quite a man. Sure knows how to live large. Knows how to spend large, as long as he's not writing it. The check. He knows how to live large. He knows how to spend large. He knows how to write large. That brings us to the callers of the Savage Nation. He will announce an executive action on immigration tomorrow. let's see, tonight he's dining with Dems to explain the measure, the dictatorial measure. No Republicans permitted, even though they just got slammed at the elections. This guy has no Republicans there. Can you imagine we're living in this emperor, the state of an empire? And what do you think this is going to do to the level of literacy in the United States of America? Tell me what's going to happen. Will the level of literacy go up or down as he grants amnesty to 5 million people who don't speak the language? Why is he doing this? I told you, one of the reasons he's doing it is to lower the labor costs for Facebook, Microsoft, and other major corporations who want cheaper, high-tech workers. It's as simple as that. And the whole thing is masked around the poor immigrant. You don't understand this. It's big business again. You know, the Democrats pose as a party of the poor and the small man, small person. And the Republicans are, you know, broadly presented as the party of big business. That's how it was presented to me as a kid. My father was an immigrant. So he always used to say to me, I don't know. He said, I vote Democrat, he said, because they seem to be for the little guy. And I said, well, what about the other people? He said, well, they're always for big business. Well, here's Obama granting amnesty to millions of illegals without any regard to what it'll do to our jails, prisons, hospitals, schools, streets, safety, simply so he can satisfy Bill Gates and Facebook, Mark Facebook, to get them cheaper labor on the H-1B visas, in my estimation. It seems to me the whole thing is being couched around helping the poor. Well, he's really helping the super, super, super rich. That's what it really comes down to. It's always money. You know, as it said, money talks and BS walks. We know that. So what else is new under the sun? The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So who do you think is going to get hurt most by this amnesty? You're not going to be, you won't be affected by it unless you run over by an illegal alien or your daughter is raped by one or whatever. The literacy level will go down for the average person not in private school. That we know. It won't affect the rich because they go to friends' academies across America or whatever. And they have private meals. They don't have Michelle meals. So they're not going to be affected by this. The poor are going to get it. Schools will be worse. Hospitals will be worse. It'll be worse for everybody except for most of the people on the bottom. People on top won't even feel it. Nah. So if you look at the history of the world, and you go all the way back to the age of the mammals, and you ask yourself what really is going on, you take a deep breath, you erase the concept of borders, you erase the concept of language, you erase the concept of culture, and you go back to a lonely planet spinning in space, and then you think about the world and time, and then you think about the beginning of life, and then you think about the age of the fishes and the age of the coal swamps, and then you think of the age of reptiles and the first birds and the first mammals, and then you look at the first mammals and you look at the monkeys and the apes and the submen, the Neanderthaler and the Rhodesian man. And then you go into primitive thought, and then you see the beginnings of cultivation. You see the emergence of primitive Neolithic civilizations. You see Sumeria and early Egypt and writing, and you see primitive nomadic peoples. And then slowly there emerges the first seagoing peoples, and then you see civilizations emerge in Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. You see the primitive Aryans. You see the last Babylonian Empire and the Empire of Darius the First. And you read about the early history of the Jews, and you see priests and prophets in Judea. And then you read about the Greeks, and then you read about the wars of the Greeks and the Persians. And then you wonder about the splendor of ancient Greece, and you think about the empire of Alexander the Great. And then you think about the museum and library at Alexandria. And then you think about how the Muslims burnt the library at Alexandria to the ground because they believed in only the sufficiency of the single book, the Quran. They burnt all the books and the library. And then along comes the life of Buddha, and then King Asoka and Confucius and Lao Tzu. And then Rome suddenly emerges into history, and then you see the history of Rome and Carthage and the growth of the Roman Empire. And then you see the world emerging between Rome and China. And then you ask about the common man's life under the early Roman Empire. And what happened to the common Roman, and how did that end? And then you read about the barbarians invading Rome and the empire breaking in two as a result of the barbarian invasion of ancient Rome. and then you move forward and you come up to the religious developments under the Roman Empire, and we come upon the teaching of a Jesus. And after we see the teaching of a Jesus, we see the development of doctrinal Christianity. And then after that, the barbarians broke the empire into two, into East and West. And then there emerged the Huns and the end of the Western Empire. The Huns broke the Western Empire, and we look at the Byzantine and the Sassanid empires. And then we look at the dynasties of Sui and Tang in China, and Muhammad and Islam emerge. And we look at the great days of the Arabs, and development of Latin Christendom. And then we come to the Crusades, and the age of papal dominion. And then we see recalcitrant princes, and the great schism and the Mongol conquest, the intellectual revival of the Europeans, and the reformation of the Latin Church. We then see the Emperor Charles V and the age of political experiments. We see monarchies and parliaments and republicanism in Europe. And then we see the new empires of the Europeans in Asia and overseas. And then along comes the American War of Independence against the British. And we see the French Revolution and the restoration of monarchy in France. And we see Europe that followed the fall of Napoleon. And then we see how knowledge emerged, and then comes the Industrial Revolution. And then after the Industrial Revolution, we see the development of modern political and social ideas, including the expansion of the United States of America. And then we see the rise of Germany to predominance in Europe at that time. And there emerges soon the new overseas empires of steamships and railway lines. And then there emerges European aggression in Asia and the rise of Japan. We see the age of nation warring against nation, and the great war between 1914 and 1918, when millions of white men slaughtered each other in the name of nothing, allowing the Third World to show its muscle. We then see the League of Nations, the early predecessor of the United Nations, and its failures. We then see the Second World War and the defeat of Nazism by the American people and by the American machine. And then we see the crises that have emerged since World War II. And then we come to a shallow little man who was selected by shallow little men and women to run America for its final and last days before it gives its last gasp. That's the pocket history of the world, according to Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Gotcha. Everyone sing along. Porque no tiene, porque la falta. Una patata de tren. Gotcha. Everyone sing along. Follow the bouncing cockroach. Gotcha, la cucaracha. Get into the spirit of things. Learn your Spanish. It's a cheerful little song about the cockroach. I'm a student of history, and even a song like this, the cockroach, la cucaracha, it concerns a cockroach that has lost one of its six legs and is struggling to walk with the remaining five. And the song itself is quite interesting. It has silly lyrics like all songs. The cockroach can no longer walk because he doesn't have, because he lacks a hind leg. Well, it's a child's song. But if you look at the history, of La Cucaracha, it's quite interesting. It actually came from Spain. Originally, it's a Spanish folk corrido that became popular in Mexico during the Mexican Revolution. So why did the song La Cucaracha become so popular? I don't really know. But according to my research, there are lyrics about La Cucaracha that go all the way back to 1492 when the Moors surrendered the Alhambra to Spain. Now, the Moors were the North African Muslims who had conquered Spain. And then the Spanish kicked them out and reconquered Spain. That's called a Reconquista. See, what was going on then is going on now. And so there was a song that went on at that time, De las patillas de un moro, tengo que hacer un escoba para ver el cartel de la infantería española. What does that mean? From the sideburns of a moor, I must make a broom to sweep the quarters of the Spanish infantry. So it was an insulting song aimed at the Moors that were just kicked out of Spain. You get it? Stuff like that. And then lyrics changed during the Mexican Revolution. And I don't know how the cockroach without the leg appeared. But the fact is, the cockroach just can't walk anymore. Because it's lacking, because it doesn't have marijuana to smoke. Remember I asked you, where does the marijuana come into the song, and what does it have to do with the cockroach? It's interesting. Play the song again, they'll see what I'm talking about. They worked it in that the... You get it? The cockroach can't walk anymore because it's lacking, because it doesn't have marijuana to smoke. Wonderful culture. Bringing the best and the brightest to America. You have to understand that the immigrants that we're talking about are all potential Einsteins and Marie Curies. They've just been kept down by the evil white man who exploited them. You see, had there been no exploitation of the indigenous peoples of Central America and Mexico over the years, the evil white men, had they not exploited Mexico and Central America, we would have millions of Einsteins, millions of Marie Curies. They may not look like that to you. They may not speak the language of Einstein or the French of Marie Curie, but that's quite an imperialist viewpoint. Think of all these little children that Obama brought over this summer. Of the 100,000 or so children that Obama brought over, many of with the EDV68 virus, although they're illiterate, even in their language of Spanish, and their mamas can't write Spanish, they can only speak it. In time, once there are enough progressives in Congress, and there's no longer a Republican Party at all, not even a semblance of one, once America's political system resembles that of Mexico, meaning a corrupt socialist ruling junta, then there will be peace on earth, freedom for all, and all of these little children that Obama brought in will be the shiny bright Einsteins of tomorrow. That's what you're going to hear tomorrow during the speech. And so we should celebrate diversity. It's worked out so well for the countries that they come from, hasn't it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House
smiley face.
Some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration.
Oh, it's just all so legal.
Everybody agrees that...
All right, let's stop it. You get it, the smiley face? He rehearsed the smiley face. All right, try it again. Let's take it from the top now. You come out, you're cheerful, you make believe it's perfectly normal, even though you're shafting the American people and trampling the Constitution. We want them to think it's perfectly normal. We want the idiots out, guys. So let's take it from the top. Hi, everybody. No, not hi, everybody. It's not a variety show. It's kind of upbeat, but not theatrical. Upbeat, not theatrical. All right, take it again now. Take 12. All right. Go for it. Let's hear this one. Let's hear it again. Go ahead. Play it. Go ahead. Play
it. Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration system.
All right. Stop right there. See, now that's good. Now you got the right tone. You're taking steps. You're fixing something that's broken. You're doing it in a modulated tone. You're not doing anything dictatorial. You don't want to do a Mussolini on him. You certainly don't want to go in the ranges of a Mussolini or an Idi Amin. You keep them calm. We've gotten this far conning the morons. You keep it going. You're a nice guy. You got a nice family. You mean well. You're certainly not an emperor. You're doing it to help people, including the American worker, even though you're undermining the American worker. Just keep it going at that pace. Now, pick it up from there, please, and let's hear the rest of it. You're doing fine. Keep it up.
Our immigration system is broken.
Good.
Unfortunately, Washington has allowed the problem to fester.
Good. Good. You're fixing what's broken.
And so what I'm going to be laying out is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as president
to make the system work better.
As I continue to work with Congress and encourage them to get
Perfect. Okay. Cut right there. All right, that's the tone, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Now, what we have for you on the Savage Nation is a dream. It's a dream act for those who have broken into America illegally and are camping here illegally, ruining our schools, destroying our hospitals, decimating our jails. This is their dream act. And, of course, the man in the White House is their man in Havana. What could be better? I mean, once a community organizer, always a community organizer. Since he's run out of communities to organize in America, he's had to reach further south than our southern border, reaching as far south as Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. And he's pulling in all of those communities so he can organize them to make sure that the corrupt edifice that put him in power continues to maintain power. And one thing you should know is that you can anticipate the Ferguson grand jury decision this week to provide cover for Obama's open borders, bankrupt America policies, and his thug-in-chief, Al Sharpton, a man who should be investigated by the Justice Department, but we have no Justice Department, a tax dodger, a con man, in my opinion, from the get-go, is threatening, basically threatening, that he has people all over America ready to go out there and, act nonviolently, of course. But they're going to go out there and make sure that Obama's executive action is covered up for by the mobs, the rent the mobs that Sharpton has used his whole life. He said he's going to do it legally. That's what Obama said. He's not violating a law. And on his side, he has the man who knows more about the law than anyone, Al Sharpton. As you know, Al Sharpton is a law-abiding citizen, although he hasn't paid taxes in a while. He stiffs hotels and landlords, according to the New York Post. He knows what the law is, and he knows how to make certain that he does what he wants to do without having to pay for it. So, yeah, here we go. I thought about the Ferguson issue in bed last night, and I decided that the results of the grand jury may be different than what you think. And I believe that what should be done, frankly, to save the social order and to maintain peace and to subvert this demonic man in the White House and to subvert the gangs in the streets being run by all of the social activists, there's only one solution to this, and the grand jury has to calculate the legal and the political implications of their decision, not just the legal implications. And I believe that they should say that there are grounds to indict the officer. Listen to me carefully, and don't cut me off in your mind. Listen carefully. And then what does that do? It takes the steam out of the street rats. What are they going to do? Riot over what? If Officer Wilson is indicted and has to go to trial, the street rats have to go home, don't they? What are they going to do, burn buildings down anyway? So the street rats go home, and they go back to what they do best, which is selling drugs or whatever they do to make a living. Then what happens? It will take a long time for Officer Wilson, his case, to go to trial, and it cannot be heard in Ferguson, Missouri. In fact, it can't even be heard in Missouri. It would have to be heard out of state because of the tainted nature of the potential jury pool. It would have to be heard in North Dakota or South Dakota in another state a year and a half from now, in which time he will get a fair trial. And I can guarantee you that the vermin in the street will not be there during the trial. They will have forgotten it and moved on to something else. And I think that that is a possible outcome of the grand jury investigation into the Ferguson issue. But it was going to take a dictator to come along one day. In this case, he's a good dictator, though. If you're an illegal alien from Guatemala or Mexico, he's a good man. If, on the other hand, you're a taxpaying American who's seen your schools go from, let us say, in the top five to lowest five in the world, if you've seen your hospitals go from first world status to third world status, then it's not a good thing. But then Obama doesn't speak to you, does he? So what you know now is we have a war in the country. We've been at war since this illegitimate government was foisted upon us 6 years ago. And this illegitimate government under Obama, frankly, has declared war on every institution of America. From the day he became president, he told you what he was going to do. And boy, is he doing it. Doesn't give me pleasure to repeat it over and over again every day. I'd rather go on and talk about other things. You know what I need to do? How many days can I say the same thing to you? I'm going to start with a quote, and it goes like this. The man wrote in 1861 one sentence. He said, "I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air around us everywhere. It goes by the name of patriotism." And that's a man sending a letter to Abraham Lincoln in 1861. And it's the opening chapter to Stop the Coming Civil War. And I ask the question, has this administration graduated to treason? And I'll let you decide whether or not
they have committed treason and what they intend to do tomorrow. And I ask the questions, but only you can give the answers. And you did, many of you. You voted for the first time in many years. And then what happened? The deluded president goes out the next day and makes believe there's no election. But it was more insulting than that. He said, you know what? You voted, but it doesn't matter because two-thirds of the people didn't vote. Well, of course, he was lying again because he's a serial liar. In midterm elections, the percentage of people who vote is always lower than the general election, and it's about the number of people who voted last time. What he was really saying is, those of you who threw the Democrats out don't count. Wait until 2016 when we agitate the blacks, the minorities, and the pot-headed students to go out there and vote, and we'll show you who's really running the country. In addition to that, we'll have 30 million more illegal aliens here than we have now, and they'll all vote for Democrats, so don't celebrate too early. That's what the community organizer was really saying on Wednesday. That's what he was saying on Wednesday. It's that simple. And we have a nation armed to the teeth, and we can't protect ourselves from the rioters or from the enemy within. So we're living through the age of the Trojan horse. You know, I don't care what a person believes in as long as they leave everybody else alone. And most religions do that, by the way. They do. Most religions have one tenet, which is do unto others as they would have you do unto you. And I've said that to you. If you break down all of the justifiable peaceful religions to one sentence, it comes down to one thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most religions teach that except one. Buddhism teaches it. Judaism teaches it. Christianity certainly teaches it. Hinduism teaches it. There's only one religion that doesn't necessarily teach do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It teaches do others before they do you. And what they do is they try to do others first. It's that simple. And I don't have to go into details. But we got this thing brewing in Missouri. And thank God that the governor of Missouri is not Jerry Brown of California, who would wait for the city to burn and then do an investigation to see why the city burned. The governor of Missouri is taking no chances on the vermin down there waiting to burn and loot. In fact, they told us that they will burn and loot. One of the masked protesters said this to Reuters. His name is Rocket Ali, if that's his real name, Ali, A-L-I. Quote, rioting and looting are the tools of those without a voice. There is no revolution without violence. So the police know there's going to be violence. The governor knows there's going to be violence. The thing to do is arrest them before they commit the violence. It's that simple. Now, I know you liberals or you extreme liberals are saying, therefore, I'm against freedom of assembly, but that's false. There is an anti-riot act on the books. It's 18 U.S. Code 2101, which makes it a crime to travel to or use interstate communications, including social media, one, to incite a riot, two, to organize, promote, encourage, participate in, or carry on a riot, three, to commit any act of violence in furtherance of a riot, four, to aid or abet any person in inciting or participating in or carrying on a riot or committing any act of violence in furtherance of a riot. So therefore, the Attorney General is not doing his job because there's already been over 100 Ferguson businesses looted and torched, and yet the government under Obama and under Holder have not yet stopped any of them. In fact, it seems to me that they're winking and nodding at them. You get it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, amnesty, 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 amnesty. The only ones not getting amnesty are the American voters, who he is told to drop dead. Yes, the snake in the White House is going to make an announcement about making an announcement about the announcement he's going to make after he makes the announcement that he has the power to be an emperor, not a president, because he says so. And since he's surrounded by thugs and criminals like Harry Reid, Al Sharpton, Sheila Jackson Lee, the lowest of the low are going to stand with him as he makes the announcement that he's going to make an announcement about an announcement that he's going to make after he makes an announcement that he has the power to override the Congress, override the people, and override the Constitution because he is God Almighty Barack Hussein Obama. And he'll damn well do what the heck he wants. And no one will stop him because he has the power of the thugs in the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, and elsewhere. You know, the ones with the baggy pants? He has his army ready. Remember Obama said he wants a private national security force just as powerful, just as well-funded as the U.S. military? Well, he's got it. There they are in the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. He's winked at them. He's nodded at them. He's given them a green light. He can use that army anytime he wants to burn America to the ground. This is what you get. This is what you got. This is what you have. But he's not my president. I didn't vote for him. I knew who he was after 1 second because I knew his background. And I warn you, if you think things are bad now, you're right. Oh, you're really right. But this imperious monster, being so emboldened by his insane move for amnesty for millions of illegal aliens, that he's liable to come for your guns, he's liable to come for the internet. Anything is possible unless this man is stopped legislatively by the two frauds in the Republican Party. I'm sorry to have to mention it to you again. It's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. He wants to start the Civil War. You say, don't be crazy. He's been at war with America from the day he became president, probably well before that. Michael Savage is not the only writer to conclude this nation is more divided now than at any time since the Civil War. I've told you that everything is at stake. A potential mid-21st century Civil War would even surpass in emotionality the slavery and economic dividers that spurred the mid-19th century conflict. You may not know it, but we are peacefully fighting, many of you without knowing it, the world revolution, which I define as the conflict this administration is pushing in the name of a broader worldwide liberal revolution. They are attempting nothing short of a socialist takeover of the world economy and global politics. This is not the socialism that you've come to expect. This is not the socialism talked about by dilettantes who go back to their real jobs on Monday morning. That was known as communism on a slow train. What you face now is yesterday's slow train at high speed. As Wes Vernon wrote in his review in the Washington Times, what we face now is yesterday's slow train at high speed. This is the nightmare writ large here and now. And I am Michael Savage trying to shake his countrymen up with an urgency of this is it, wake up. We have a monster, a dictator, a snake in the White House. As the reviewer said about my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, the reviewer Wes Vernon in today's Washington Times, this is an administration whose concept of a true revolution is similar to the old Brezhnev doctrine that once a revolution gains power, its dominance is here to stay. My book's first chapter is headlined Graduating to Treason. Well, read it yourself. The battle lines have been drawn. The illegal aliens are going to be used against hardworking middle-class families. And liberals who hate the Second Amendment are going to take your guns, as sure as I'm sitting here. If they can get away with granting amnesty to illegal aliens, which is unconstitutional, what can't they do? Climate activists whose policies cause forest fires and exacerbate drought, well, what about them? How about anti-Christian communist educators versus God-fearing families? As the reviewer wrote, if that slow train is now at high speed, Savage believes the enemy's starting point is the nation's schools. Listen carefully. Whereas Stalin had his re-education camps, Hussein Obama has the U.S. education system, says Michael Savage. So what's my solution? Listen to me, and I have to say this clearly right now. Many of you weren't going to vote 2 weeks ago, but for 6 weeks, I hammered you to go and vote. I said, hold your nose and vote for the Republicans. And then we will lobby the Republicans to stop Obama before he destroys what's left of America's freedoms and truths. Well, here we are. You voted. I changed the course of political affairs in America. I helped make that earthquake happen. And now I'm going to help you stop Obama. And here's how you do it. Did you buy Stop the Coming Civil War? Well, read the damn thing and send a copy to a congressman or a senator. That's what we have to do now. Not another person to read the book. I'm not looking to sell you a book. I'm looking you to sell the Republicans now. The two frauds. We didn't elect them. I didn't elect McConnell. I didn't ask you to go to the polls to put McConnell and Boehner back in power. Those gangsters, they're no different than Obama. No, they got to be lobbied and they got to be pushed. And we have enough young people now in the Congress to make something happen. So send a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War to your congressman or senator while you still can. This is America. This is not a world under a gang of street thugs. And I say that very, very cautiously and very carefully. How else do you explain that this man in the White House, Hussein Obama, has this street thug, Al Sharpton, this deadbeat tax dodger in the White House over and over again? A rabble rouser trying to stir up a riot in Ferguson, Missouri, unless they lynch the cop. What kind of president is this? Is this a president of the United States or a president of the disunited states of America? I'll let you decide. But please help me stop the coming civil war. Thanks for listening, and God bless America.
Savage.